这熊盘撒苍梗。
Welcome to Window on North Korea, an attempt to humanize and three-dimensionalize our image of everyday North Koreans with the help of defectors from North Korea now living elsewhere and sometimes from sources still living within North Korea. I am Paran Kelleher, your host. This week we will look at some things about everyday life in North Korea that are pretty different from our own in terms of expectations of the government. Perhaps one of the best-known quotations from inaugural addresses of our past presidents is from John F. Kennedy. He famously said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." It was a very well-received instruction. It awakened many youth, especially of that generation, to a call to serve, and continues to inspire people to public service. But North Korea puts a different twist on the intention of that statement and expects its citizens to go far beyond the call of duty in supporting its self-defined initiatives. Last month, the birthday of Kim Jong-il coincided with the Lunar New Year on February 16th. I was surprised but relieved that the sizable North Korean presence at the Olympics in South Korea at that time did not, at least to my knowledge, make a big deal of the birthday. But this birthday, as well as Kim Il-sung's on April 15th, are prepared for long in advance and unavoidable for the everyday North Korean. They used to be looked forward to because the government gifted all children with 1 kilogram or more than 2 pounds of candy to celebrate the occasions. These days, however, the people are expected to provide some of the ingredients for these so-called gifts. Reading from a dailynk.com article titled, "Ordinary Residents Ordered to Provide Ingredients for Kim Jong-il Birthday Snack Manufacturing," quote, "As North Korea prepares traditional snack packages for children in celebration of Kim Jong-il's birthday on February 16th, sources in Ryanggang province have revealed that the authorities are demanding local residents provide the ingredients needed to manufacture these snacks. Every household in the area was ordered to provide to their inminban, or people's unit, 150 grams of sesame seeds and soybeans towards the production of the snacks. But almost nobody is voluntarily complying. So the people's unit leaders are having to go around and personally collect the offerings, to which people are reacting quite coldly," a source in Ryanggang province told Daily NK on February 5th, end quote. Actually, it is the provincial governments that put the pressure on the local people, as they are the ones in charge of food processing factories, and they lack the resources to produce the treats. Even people without children are required to come up with the donations of ingredients. But the local people are already short on food supplies themselves, having endured a drought and poor harvest last year, many families eating only 2 meals a day. So this requirement is causing trouble between people's unit leaders and residents, and has resulted in some bold comments from especially gutsy women who object to the expectation, saying things like, "Doesn't the fact that they are demanding sesame and soy from people mean that the birthday snack distributions are not really gifts at all? And even if they threaten to kill us, we cannot pay up. Don't we have to actually have the food in the first place in order to give it to them?" Another expectation is placed on so-called women in residential zones, housewives without official work assignments, who are members of the Socialist Women's Union of Korea. Though without social work assignments, they are in fact often the primary breadwinners for their families with their street market and smuggling businesses. Quoting from an article about their role in the birthday celebration, "They are made to participate in remembrance song fests or other singing activities, meaning they cannot work in the markets during that time. Even in these tough economic times, they're forced to gather and practice songs every day, inevitably leading to resentment. The situation also leads to many arguments and problems within families." It's not an exaggeration to say that women are the major breadwinners in North Korea, so when they're taken away from their work for weeks at a time, it significantly impacts their household finances. The problems did not stem from the coinciding of both holidays this year, but rather from the mandatory political events surrounding Kim Jong-il's birthday celebrations, end quote. Another source is quoted in the dailynk.com as saying, "There are already enough problems everywhere with celebrating the birthdays of the living, but here we are, dozens of years later, still putting on enormous shows for the birthdays of the dead, Kim Jong-il and Kim Il-sung. How could anyone think this is helpful, being forced away from our daily work like this?" End quote. Another article in the DailyNK.com put a different twist on the birthday candy production burden. It is titled, North Korea's State Factories Plagued by Theft from Workers' Managers. Reading from that article, food factories all over the country have been working day and night to prepare gift snacks to kindergarten and primary school students in time for Kim Jong-il's birthday on February 16th. Due to labor shortages, some of the workers are being forced to do both day and night shifts. Although many countries have problems with labor exploitation, North Korea is on a different level entirely. The North Korean laborers being forced to work the double shifts are not even complaining. The extra shifts give them the chance to steal more raw materials from the factory, an opportunity they do not want to squander. Theft has become a generally accepted practice for state factory cadres and their workers. Both workers and managers alike steal raw materials like flour and sugar this time of year. And at factories that are further along in the production process, the workers steal some of the finished product. It is also a common occurrence for materials to disappear from the packaging facilities. There are three times each year when certain factories are tasked with producing state-issued gifts, representing three opportunities to siphon off materials for personal profit. Workers tend to look the other way when they see a colleague stealing something. It's common knowledge that the cadres get a big cut of the action and the workers get a smaller take. End quote. So if you are lucky enough to work at the candy factory, even double shifts, you have a completely different attitude about the annual candy frenzies from those stuck with just coughing up the ingredients. But inevitably, you will be presented with other opportunities to do for your country. In Yeonsa and Musan counties of North Hamgyong province, authorities are collecting money from residents to pump life back into an iron mining operation. Quoting from a DailyNK.com article about this situation, Musan Mine is North Korea's largest iron mine and is sometimes referred to as the treasure of North Korea. It is said to hold reserves of 3 billion tons of iron, with a yearly mining yield of 6.5 million tons, worth approximately $100 million US per year. However, due to chronic power shortages and natural disasters like drought, the mine has not been able to operate consistently. Increasing international sanctions in the last year and the subsequent blockade of exports from the mine have also led to a loss of personnel, as workers seek other sources of money, leaving the mine in a precarious position. End quote. But international sanctions have also hit the local trading markets hard, and people can no more afford to donate to the mine than to buy sesame and soy for the local candy factory. The expectation is drawing resentment, and residents are reportedly resisting the orders. Quoting again from the article, another principal cause of increasing distrust in the government is the fact that locals have seen the monetary and material contributions towards such mobilization schemes in the past go mostly into the pockets of the authorities and not towards the intended projects or increased food provision. People continue to lose hope in receiving aid from the authorities as well. They are complaining that they don't know how to feed their families when they receive only enough for one person to live on. End quote. We can see that North Koreans are expected to do a lot for their country. In fact, to prop it up while the government has a distorted sense of priorities of how to use its limited resources. It's at least heartening to hear about people voicing their objections, if only in clandestine phone conversations with journalists across the border in China. But these articles are quoting conversations overheard within North Korea as well. So it appears there is increasing dissent, and I wonder how long it will take to bubble to the surface. Window on North Korea is produced in the studios of KTWH in Two Harbors and airs most Saturdays at 10 a.m.